And in this corner, weighing in at a set of blueberries, the standard low-fat Republican, grand old Republican, who refuses to fight the Democrats the way they fight us, Governor Goofball. And in this corner, weighing in at a set of Vidalia onions, the teller of truth, the slayer of Democrats.
Well, welcome to the program, folks. Your friendly neighborhood hatchet man, Brother Craig. I am coming at you here on the really real deal. We always appreciate you folks being out there. And we have a fantastic program lined up for you today. In our final segment, we're going to have Stephen Julian. And many of you will remember that back when President Trump was out in Phoenix, Arizona, that Mr. Julian, who is 100 years old in the Navy in World War II, was brought down to President Trump by a couple of patriots. And it was just a really, really touching patriotic moment that really went viral. I think something like 5 million people viewed that event via all these various Internet platforms. But anyway, Mr. Julian's son, Stephen, is a listener to the Really Real Deal out in Phoenix, Arizona. And so they wanted to have Mr. Julian on the program. And you know something, folks, it is my privilege and pleasure to have him on. So we're going to have him on in our final segment to this program. Now, I told you all, well, actually, I had been telling you all for several weeks about an event that we were going to have up in Chantilly, Virginia, and we did have that event, and it was very, very successful. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I have never seen such a diverse crowd of truly, truly patriotic, and I mean Christian Americans, okay? Now, the Democrats like to claim they're the party of diversity, and they like to claim that the Republican Party is just a party of people that are, and now check this out. All Republicans, according to them, they're old, they're all rich, they're male, and they're all white. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous if you really, really, really think about it. But one of the things that they do, and I was talking last week in a program about how conquerors divide, but leaders unite. And so, what we do on our side, and certainly what I try to do as your friendly neighborhood hatchet man. Well, actually, let me say as your brother, Craig. Okay. Because, you know, if you love the Lord, if you love this nation, if you love all that's good, right, pure and holy, I'm your brother. Okay. Brother Craig. If you don't love these things, then I'm the hatchet man. Okay. Let me get this straight. But anyway, these were some really strong Christians there. I mean, and talk about a diversity of backgrounds, but a commonality of core beliefs. And so, and it really, really brings to mind, St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For all are one in Christ Jesus. And what I saw in that, At that event, and I was so proud and honored and privileged to be a participant in the event, it was really our Christian brothers literally from around the world. People from Korea, people from China, there were Arabs, there were, you know, native-born Americans that were black, that were white, that were, you know, from background that you can imagine. But see, the thing about it is that we who are conservatives, we are ever mindful of the words of St. Paul in his letter to the Galatians. And so what we look at is the last part, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And these people, I am telling you, folks, there's one gentleman, I wish I had remembered his name or had written it down. Okay. I do have his card. I just don't have it with me, but, he was one of the speakers and he's from China. He was awesome. Okay. Well, actually, they were all awesome. Okay. Julie Cho, who organized the event, she was awesome. I mean, it was really, really a truly great event. We had, President Trump's national finance chairman, Todd Ricketts, the owner of the Chicago Cubs, keynote speaker. I mean, the entire event was a really, truly great event. And it just, and we need to have more events like that. We who are members of the Christian conservative constitutional capitalistic coalition. And I can tell you that the people there, they really, you know, number one is that their love of Jesus Christ, their love of Christian faith, that was quite evident, okay? And many of them, they declare that they are Christians first. And it was just, it's beautiful to see that and hear that and to hear it in broken English, okay, from people that, okay, English is not their native language. And so they're struggling to communicate, but they're not struggling. They're communicating loud and clear that they're saying, first and foremost, I am a Christian. Secondly, I am an American. Okay. And the gentleman from China put it really, real blunt. He said, I am not a hyphenated Chinese American. He said, I am an American. And then he later said, now I happen to be from China. But I mean, it was just beautiful to see, you know. And so what we get on the opposite side, all of the division is they're trying to give people reasons to hate. What this event that we had in Chantilly, Virginia, were reasons to love. OK, we were discussing what we have in common. We were not there to discuss what we have that makes us different. OK. And so, you know, people were they were talking about, you know, education, keeping taxes low, keeping the business environment friendly, keeping the borders safe. I mean, here you have people that, for the most part, were immigrants to this nation, but love President Trump and are fully 100% in favor of his immigration program. Okay. That people should come legally, that this nation should be kept safe, should be kept strong, because they recognize that their future is tied up into the future of America. And so if America's economy is strong, if the health is strong, if the spiritual life of the nation is strong, if they recognize if all these things are strong and this makes for a strong nation, that makes for a strong society at every level, on the national level, the state level, the locality level, the community level, and it goes on down to the individual family and the individual person. And so these are, I mean, I really did love it. As a matter of fact, I loved it so much, I've agreed to be a part of the next program that they're going to have down in North Carolina in April. And so when I get more details about exactly when in April and where, I'll be certain to let you all know. But it really, really, was a great, great program. Now, speaking of keeping America strong, okay, and here you have people that, you know, there were no poverty pimps. You know, there was no Chinese poverty pimp. There was no Korean poverty pimp. Okay. There was no Pakistani poverty pimp. So there was no one at the meeting telling people, oh, you need to hate Republicans. You need to hate Christians. You need to hate white people. You need to hate Trump. Okay. Because why? Because they hate you. Of course, we don't hate anyone. We hate evil. We don't hate individuals. We don't hate large swaths of particular people. We hate evil, and it doesn't matter where the evil comes from. We hate evil. Okay. And so what you have is you have a situation where if you look in the Word of God in the book of Nehemiah, which I think I shared with you all last week that my Bible study, one of my Bible study groups, we're currently studying the book of Nehemiah. And of course, you who are longtime listeners to this program, you know my love of the book of Nehemiah, and I talk about it all the time. And so this has given me an opportunity to discuss Nehemiah even more, you know, now that it's one of the topics of study and it's a topic of discussion among, you know, 50 or so good, solid, strong Christian brothers. And so, but anyway, look, I'm looking at the clock here, and I've got about another minute. Let me go ahead and get a few of these points in about Nehemiah and about how the people from all these different parts of the world, how they love America and they want America to be kept strong, even to embracing President Trump's immigration policy. Okay. And so what we have with Nehemiah, of course, you know, the main thing is the rebuilding of the wall, repairing the breaches in the wall. And so what we're going to do on the other side of the break is we're going to break this down and make this applicable to everyday life. And we're going to discuss the wall in two ways, physically and spiritually. And we're going to take our first break right now. We will be right back, folks.
A man and his microphone, Brother Craig.
There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Welcome back to the program. folks. Your friendly neighborhood hatchet man, Brother Craig, coming right back at you here. And yeah, as promised, folks, we're going to get right back into a discussion of Nehemiah and how this applies to life, right here and now and today. Okay. And it's, you know, it's a powerful testimony of things that occurred, you know, back in Jerusalem. The, you know, the Jews had been dispersed and a few had made their way back to Jerusalem, and the walls of protection around them, you know, the stones had been overturned, the gates had been burned, and it was put on Nehemiah's heart, even though he had never, ever seen Jerusalem. But his love of his home, okay, and that made him a patriot, okay, a lover of God and a lover of the home that God had given his people, even though him personally, you know, he had not lived there, okay? And so what you had was you had a situation where there are people that made mockery of his love of his homeland and wanting to do something about it being in disrepair and the people there, his countrymen, being unprotected. He wanted to do something about that. He didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to philosophize about it. He didn't want to tweet about it. He wanted to do something about it. And so he launched a plan to do so. Okay. Starting with, you know, he was cupbearer to the king, pretty important, job in those days. And so the first thing he did was secure the blessing of the king to give him, permission to go, give him safe passage through, various territories, give him financing to get it done. And, you know, it's a study in effective leadership, effective planning, you know, which started in his heart. Okay. His heart was grieved and he wanted to do something about it. So he did it. Okay. How many stop right there and think of our own lives and our own nation? How many of us recognize the many, many places in the United States of America this day, our homeland? Okay. A land that who gave to us? God gave to us. How many of us recognize the many, many breaches in the walls around this nation? Now, and we're talking physical and spiritual breaches, okay? Now, how many of us are wanting to do something about that? Or how, you know, do we just complain about, oh, well, somebody ought to do something about so-and-so. Well, somebody, maybe that somebody is you. Maybe that somebody is me. Maybe together we can do something about it. You have the coronavirus now. You have illegals coming here with many other diseases. You have homeless camps, particularly in California, where diseases are showing up that we as a nation had conquered. I mean, you have doctors that have never seen some of these diseases. They've been conquered so long ago. People living in close quarters and in filth in the manner in which many people in third world nations live. You have terrorists. You know, there was even a case where three Chinese nationals who had been infected have been apprehended trying to cross the southern border. Okay? And so there's a physical need for a physical wall around this nation. But there's also a spiritual wall that has been being breached for many, many years, folks. Okay? Family. Public expressions of faith like prayer. I mean, even at a football game, when I grew up playing football in Charles City County, Virginia, we always prayed before and after the game, whether it was football, basketball, track, whatever, win, lose, or draw. We came together, hands together in a huddle, and we said the Lord's Prayer. Okay? And that's a big deal now. The atheist can't just be content to not believe in God. He wants to make sure that we don't have public expressions so that the love of God can be transferred unto the next generation. And that's what it's all about. It's not, they're not offended. These demonic people, they're after our children. And so prayer is a wall of protection around society, particularly around our children. Okay? So they want to breach that wall, and they have successfully breached that wall. And so what we are attempting to do is to be like Nehemiah, repair the breaches in the wall. And so you have children, grandchildren. They need to be taught. They need to see it in the home. When they leave the home, they need to see it in the school that they're sent to. for a sporting event, see it at the sporting event. Then they need to see it everywhere. This is how your society survives intact. Okay. By teaching. And again, word of God, teach your children upon their waking, upon their going, upon their rising, upon their setting, upon their going to, and upon their coming from. Okay. That's the word of God. And that is a command from God. And this is how, when we lay down and close our eyes for the final time, we can close them, rest assured that our children, that our grandchildren, that our great grandchildren will be men and women of God. Okay. Now, in 1962, prayer got kicked out of public schools. And so that was the first stone of the wall tumbling down. Okay. And so ever since then, it's just gotten worse and worse and worse, to the point where folks don't even want you to have at Christmas season, in the Christmas season, they want you to call it Happy Holidays. Okay. And you cannot have a depiction of the nativity on anything that's public, in spite of the fact that the public grounds that it's public is predominantly Christians. This is still a Christian nation. And I know there are many atheists and people of other faiths that are in key positions, but they do not dominate. They do not dominate. Now, in the amount of energy that they expend to drive Christian faith from the public square, it may appear that they dominate. But numerically, they do not dominate. Numerically, we dominate. It's just that we're sitting on our rear ends. We're sitting on our rear ends. And I found it interesting that in chapter 3 of the book of Nehemiah, the priests were the first that were mentioned that they actually built on the wall. And so that's saying, I mean, the preachers out here. Now, I don't want to start calling folk Reverend Chickenfoot. You know I'm famous for that. But, I mean, if the shoe fits, folk have to wear the shoe, don't they? I mean, think about it. Okay, many preachers preach the same 20 or 30 sermons year after year after year. Okay, they just go in a rotation. And whatever they consider to be potentially controversial, they stay away from. Okay? And this nonsensical idea, and this reason why the spiritual walls around this nation are in such disrepair. I mean, all up in, even the idea of male and female created he them. That wall is in disrepair. Okay? Well, you're preparing boys to be men. You're preparing girls to be women. Even that block in the wall, how basic a block is that? Even that has been attacked. And yet and still, preacher after preacher after preacher refuse. And I don't know if it's the preachers or if it's the boards of elders. I don't know what it is, but I know for an absolute fact, it is a serious problem in these United States of America. You see what happened to you. It was a problem in Europe for the past 50 or 60 years. And look at them now. You can stick a fork in most places in Europe. They're done. I got back from London not too long ago, and you can call it Londonistan. You can stick a fork in it. London is cooked, okay? We in the United States of America are not far behind them. These spiritual walls, they need to be repaired. We need more Nehemiahs, okay? And we need to understand that there's going to be opposition. And so, and the word of God tells us such. And so what Nehemiah had to do was make sure that all the workmen, in one hand, they had a tool with which to do their work. But in the other hand, they had a weapon. And you see, my Christian brothers and sisters, they don't like to hear that kind of talk. Oh, weapon? You're talking about fighting, Hatchet Man. Yeah, that's right. I'm talking about fighting. Okay. Do you love your grandchildren? I love mine. As a matter of fact, I love your grandchildren. And if you had to judge by the amount of activity that many Christians engage in to protect the spiritual walls of this nation around their grandchildren, if you had to just judge by that, I love their grandchildren more than they love their grandchildren. And that is a shame. That is a shame. The TV, the movies, the stories that are told. All of these are ways in which we remind the next generation that you do not own yourself. There is a God in heaven that created you and has rights over you, and you have to act accordingly. We're going to take our second break of the day, folks, and we will be right back.
A man and his microphone, Brother Craig.
Welcome back to the program, folks. Your friendly neighborhood hatchet man, Brother Craig, coming right back at you here. And I do want to remind you folks that we are really, really in a, I would actually call it a crisis mode as far as fundraising goes. Many of you know that, these are our final 2 weeks of broadcasting in Phoenix, Arizona. The financial structure of the way things work, is such that the radio fees have to be paid. And, there are many, many other costs associated with, doing the radio broadcasts, and just running the First Amendment Inc., in general. But the number one expense, is radio fees. And it's with great sadness that I announced that, we're broadcasting. You're listening today in Phoenix, and next week in Phoenix will be, you know, barring something. Okay. I would love to stay in Phoenix, but barring, and look, we don't want to act like miracles don't happen. Okay. But you never know future. Maybe we'll be back there. But for right now, we're going to have to, cease broadcasting in Phoenix, Arizona. We will continue at our flagship station, at, WRVA 1140 AM, the 50,000 watt voice of Virginia. We will also continue to broadcast at WLVA, the voice of Lynchburg, up near Liberty University, a truly, truly, great Christian university. But listen, folks, I would encourage you to go to our website, thereallyrealdeal.com, thereallyrealdeal.com. And if you are a donor, I would ask you to please donate again if you have been. And if you have not yet been a donor, we would ask you to please consider, becoming a donor. And, for any listener out there that is not yet a giver anywhere, I would really, really encourage you to become a giver. Okay. Many people in this country that tithe 10%, a tithe means a tenth, that take 10% of their income and give that, sacrificially to the Lord. There are many people that do it. There are many that do it in excess of 10%. Okay. And these are givers. These are givers. And so I think typically that the person that gives to, our radio ministry are already givers. They're already in the giving habit. And, for you who may not yet be in the giving habit, I'm going to pray that the Lord would touch your heart and cause you to get into the habit of being a giver. And when I say being a giver, I don't mean here, for you who listen to our giving ad, we talk about a lot of people other than us that are doing the Lord's work, because I recognize in all humility that I am not the only watchman on the wall, over this society. I do take my role seriously as a watchman on the wall, but I'm just one among many. And so there are many, many worthy organizations out here doing the Lord's work. But just like we cannot do it without help from people like you, nor can they. Okay. And so please consider becoming a giver. And in your giving, please consider allowing some of that giving to come to us here at the First Amendment Inc. Okay. Those of you who prefer to send an old-fashioned check in the mail, the address is 8659 Staples Mill Road, Richmond, Virginia, 23228. 8659 Staples Mill Road, Richmond, Virginia, 23228. And again, you make your check out to The First Amendment, Inc. And with that, we're going to get back on to the program here. And, you know, I was just finishing up. I think I pretty much said all I want to say right now on Nehemiah, except, you know, I would like to add this, and I'm going to finish this up with the words of our big brother, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 44. But we've discussed mostly the spiritual walls around this nation, the breaches, you know, the educational system, Hollywood, more and more the news media. But you see, the enemy, they have weaponized everything. And so now we have a situation where there's a virus going around the planet, mainly in China. Okay, mainly in China. But so you have a need, and Trump was smart to stop travel coming here from China very early on. The Democrats howled about it. Why did the Democrats complain about that? They wanted infected people to come here. Yes, they are that evil, folks. Yes, they are. They wanted it. And so what they've done is they've weaponized the information, and the virus is a potential weapon. So that this is double. This is physical and spiritual. I mean, that's something to think about. Okay. Because they weaponize everything, folks. These people are liars from the very pit of hell, and they drive people to unreasonable types of hatred. And we're going to get into that very shortly here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But for right now, look at how the Democrats, they've weaponized. Just think about recent history. They've weaponized sickness. They weaponized Hurricane Katrina. They weaponized fake impeachment. Trump makes a phone call to enforce a law that is his responsibility to enforce. They weaponize that and actually impeach the man for doing his job. It's his job to root out evil. So what? The joker, that's the criminal, is running for president, Joe Biden. So what? So if Joe Biden was to shoot a man, the president can't prosecute him for murder because why? That's his political opponent. It's ridiculous. They weaponize everything. These people are liars. And I need more preachers willing to say this. And I'm going to quote to you Jesus Christ. For those of you who say, oh, no, Brother Craig, I'm not going to bring politics into my pulpit. Politics is in your pulpit already. Jesus spoke to the leadership in his day. Ye are of your father, the devil. In the lusts of your father, ye shall do. He was a liar from the beginning and abode not in truth. So when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is the father of lies. Okay. Now that doesn't sound to me like Jesus was saying, you my very well-meaning friend across the aisle. I know you Sanhedrin, and yeah, I know you guys. I know you mean well. You just got it wrong. You just don't understand. No. Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil. Of your father, the devil. That's Jesus. If Jesus can say it, you can say it, Reverend Chickenfoot. If Jesus can say it, I can say it. We cannot only speak the kinder and gentler. There are two sides to God's nature. We must use the whole counsel of God, not that portion that's easier to say. Okay? And so what we want to do now is, and I've got just a few minutes before we get to the next break, but we want to talk a little bit about this election and the Democrats electing Bernie Sanders to go up against Donald Trump. And the Democrat Party, the officials of the party, not wanting Bernie to get nominated to go up against Trump. Why is that? Let's do an analysis of this, okay? Now, the first thing we're going to do in our, we're going to go to the Word of God, okay? Second Thessalonians chapter 2, here we got, and for verse, starting with verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay? Strong delusion. So here you have Bernie Sanders, an admitted socialist communist. He honeymooned in the former Soviet Union, not Russia after the fall of the Soviet Union, while the Soviet Union was the Soviet Union, a openly and declared communist nation. They're still communists, but they're just lying now. But before the lie, Bernie Sanders went there. Bernie Sanders loves Fidel Castro. He loves the Soviet system. He is an atheist. He's on record attacking a Christian right there in the chambers of Congress. This is on the record. This is not something hidden. And so I say, and again, Jesus said they are of the devil, that they are liars. They are liars. And so I say this, and then we're going to take our final break of the day. The only reason that the official Democrat Party does not want Bernie Sanders to represent the party is that Bernie Sanders is the only open and honest communist in a party that is full of communists. The rest of the party simply knows that they have to continue to lie to you. The Communist Party is a party of atheists. The Democrat Party is a party of atheists. If you are a Christian and a Democrat, I encourage you to do more research. You might want to put a little bit of distance between you and a party full of atheists. We're going to take our final break of the day, and when we come back, we're going to have Irvin Julian, the 100-year-old World War II veteran who was at the Trump rally in Phoenix, Arizona.
A man and his microphone, Brother Craig.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time.
Yes, welcome back to the program, folks. We have Stephen Julian with us. Stephen is the son of Julian, the 100-year-old veteran of World War II that was honored by President Trump when the president was out in Phoenix, Arizona recently. How you doing there, Stephen?
Fantastic.
Great, great. How's your father doing?
He's getting better. He was a little tired. I mean, after the rally, we got hit with the local media, and then the next morning I had to get him up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go do a, live, news shoot, for Fox News at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Because that was Eastern time.
Yeah, Trump was right. He's the biggest celebrity in the country right now.
Yes, I was getting phone calls from everybody that knew me and telling me they, you know, and media and everything. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. That's great. I'm so happy, for him and for you, by the way. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, listen, this gentleman is about 5 weeks older than my grandmother. My grandmother was born in 1919. She turned 100 in November 5th, and your dad turned 100 October 1st. I mean, that's like
right.
A little over 1 month apart, their birthdays.
Right.
And, you know, I'm so blessed and happy to have my grandmother, my sweet grandmother, still with us. And your dad, now what's his health like, to be 100? What's his regimen been like to become a centenarian? Not many folks get to do that.
He's got, no, he's got, health-wise, he's phenomenal. He's great. He has dementia, but overall, he knows what's going on. I mean, to this day, he still knows his account number.
Well, then he only has the beginning dementia. He's still got a, he's still got a lot that he's holding on to. That is great.
That's right.
Yeah, that is great. And I understand he was in the Naval Air Corps in Corpus Christi, Texas.
That's, and it, fortunately, a few years back, he was friends of theirs, had a daughter that was able to get him on the base. He kind of knew, where the barracks were, but it had all changed and everything, but he was fortunate to be able to go back to the old base, in his lifetime too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's great. And you know, the Democrat Party, they have no actual reason for any Democrat to vote Democrat. There's no real reason, particularly for middle America. Now, there's plenty of reasons for those that, work in the swamp, or they're government employees, there's, you know, or they're a government contractor. In other words, they're feeding at the trough. There's plenty of reason
for the one thing I want to get out there, the Democrats, we got hit on the Twitter that we had tweeted out about the video that we were plants and this was all staged. And mm-hmm. I just want to clarify that, truthfully, if you look at it, it was an act of God. I mean, it was mm-hmm. meant to be. I mean, nothing was planned. It was just one thing after another, from the guys being there to carry my dad down to his seat, to Kerry Lake, our anchor of Fox 10, taking that video and tweeting it out, all the way to where Junior tweeted it out. The president's flying in. He sees what's going on. He retweeted it. 2 days afterwards, I found out yesterday that Ivanka tweeted it out. And it was just one thing after another. And I could totally see how they thought we were staged, but we weren't. It was unbelievable what happened.
But see, that's my point. My point is that the Democrats have no solid reasons. I mean, what are they going to say? We want the Democrats to cure the Trump economy. I mean, what are they? They have no real reason, so they come up with things like Republicans hate old people. Remember how they had this thing where the Speaker of the Republican Speaker of the House, they made a little cartoon. He was pushing Granny over the cliff in her wheelchair. Remember that a few years ago?
Yeah.
See, this is what they do. They say, okay, Republicans, you hate old people, you hate children, you hate women, you hate brown people, you hate black people, you hate, you know, clean air, you hate clean water. And there's a segment of the population that are susceptible to that. And I just got through talking about 2 Thessalonians, the strong delusion that God sends to people that don't believe in truth.
Witness, I was part of that day before yesterday. I've got it. The Trump campaign gave me an official Trump campaign hat to keep America great. And so I wear it every day, proudly wear it every day, because I have a story of why I'm wearing it. And I was in my doctor's office 2 days ago, and I had a guy come in and looked at me and said, I needed to vote for Bloomberg. And I'm like, why? And he started in, I was even called the A word right in front of a whole packed house there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why would I vote for Bloomberg when my father just got honored by the President of the United States and he's great. And then after that, he proceeded to go over to another couple. That was and he says he hates Mexicans. He hates blacks. Those people turned around and said, you know, there's a place you can discuss whatever you want, but it's not in the doctor's office. It's incredible. I just went through there, you know?
Yeah, but that's the only playbook that they have, is to play the hate card. Okay. So they have no proof of why they love any of these different groups. They cynically use these people. And as a matter of fact, every place in the United States of America that's 100% run by Democrats, if there's not enough Republicans around to put any stop or check on their power to make policy that the citizens have to live under, what do you have? You know, you have people defecating in the street, drug needles in the street, the schools are terrible, the crime is off the hook, educational attainment is low. I mean, there's not one single place where you do a bunch of rich, multimillionaire Democrats with rulership over a bunch of poor, angry, ignorant, you know, Democrats at the bottom who are spoon-fed hate. And they tell them.
The other thing they don't do, as much as the Republicans do, they do not support the military as strong as the Republicans do and nearly as strong as Trump does. Trump loves the military, and just what happened at his rally just shows and proves it.
This is so true. And, you know, and that's been a thing, over the years with the Democrat Party. And now they would like to say that they love, whether it's the military or women or whatever. Did you know, Stephen? And I wish I could get other newscasters to cite this statistic. I think I'm the only guy that cites it with regularity. That, okay, they say, all right, Republicans among the all the many groups that we allegedly we hate. One of the groups we hate is women. Did you know that Republican men are far more likely to marry the women who are the mothers of their than are Democrat men? It's not even close. So how is it that we hate women? And I understand, in speaking with you earlier that your dad and your mom have been married. Tell the folks how many years.
71 years. And if you saw the way my dad says goodbye to my mother every night, it amazes you. I mean, he makes sure she's tucked in and everything, and he tells her how much he loves her. And they've been together for 71 years. And it's a combination of, you know, my mother helped keep him alive this long and vice versa. I mean, it's just, there's a perfect marriage. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, that's really, really beautiful. And that's a good, strong note to close the program out on, brother. Yeah, I just wish we could get more men of God to speak, a powerful truth to these situations and not let them go unanswered and have people to say that we who are members of the Christian Conservative Constitutional Coalition that somehow we're mean and we're evil. You know, we are people that we not only love God, we love our fellow man and we love our country. And I'm going to give you the final word here in 30 seconds, brother.
All I want to say is God bless our president in America, and want to thank him for everything he's done. And please pay attention and vote for him.
All right. And with that, I want to send this prayer out to our audience, as always, that the Lord would bless you and keep you, that the Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and that the Lord will lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. God bless you out there, folks, each and every one under the sound of my voice. And I'm going to see you right here, folks, next week. Same hatchet time, same hatchet station.
I love you, America. You see, my